Oh, thank you. And what I didn't realise was that when you put these things on, they press on the back of your glasses. And I wear varifocals. You've seen what happened. And I started juggling, and of course, my glasses went like that, and I was looking through the reading part. And the ball suddenly became about three times the size they normally were, and appeared to be made of cotton wool. And I've never juggled so badly in my life. Well, I'm going to do some juggling this morning, so I hope it'll be a little bit better. But first of all, we're going to read God's word. So we're going to read from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll give you a minute to find it if you're going to follow it with me. Ever such a well-known passage, we're going to start at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. But as I have told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." God will bless his word to us. Right. Okay, so what I'm going to do over the next 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, is just based upon one line in that long reading that I brought you, and I brought my case, and I will need help this morning. Okay, so I hope you're ready to give me some help. And you as well, and lots of the others, we'll see. So in my case here, I've got all my juggling stuff. I have to say that adults, you're perfectly safe. The ones in the front row, it's not quite so sure, but we'll hope they'll be okay. So I'll wait. Can I just ask you to pray about something before we go any further? This is just one of those stories that shows that God's in control. Year before last, I was working in India, and the pastor of the church, his name is Stephen, he said to me, "Will you please, when you go home, pray for Joshua? Joshua's going to move to the UK." Now, this was in Goa. Most of the Goanese people tend to end up in Swindon. "So please pray for Joshua. He's going to the UK." So we thought, yeah, we'll pray for Joshua. That was all, year and a half, 2 years ago. So I'd obviously done something terribly wrong because I had to go to IKEA. That's my punishment, you know. So I went to IKEA a couple of weeks ago, and I went to the restaurant, which is the best bit about IKEA. And they had curry on. It was great. It was brilliant. And the man who served it up said, "Well, this comes from Gujarat and this comes from somewhere else. And I said, "Are you from India?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I go to India every year." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Where'd you go?" I said, "I go to Goa." He said, "Wow, I come from Goa." You see where this is going, haven't you? He said, I come from Gomorrah. I said, what part? He said, Panagia. I said, wow, I go to Panagia every time. And he said, why do you come to Panagia? I said, I work with a charity called El Shaddai. And he said, I go to Pastor Stephen's church. El Shaddai is one of the directors. He's one of the directors. He said, I go to Pastor Stephen's church. I said, what's Stephen in Panagia? He said, yes. I said, what's your name? He said, Joshua. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? Doesn't that just show that, you know, coincidence don't happen, but godly happenings do happen. So I want to do some juggling for you. I don't know if any of you can juggle. I don't know if I can with this microphone on, but we shall find out. It was a long time ago I decided that I was going to be a juggler. And I went out and I bought two juggling balls like this. Well, a bit like this anyway. And I started to learn to juggle. And it wasn't very long till I could juggle two balls. And I was so pleased. I was a real juggler. Can any of you do that? Can any of you juggle two balls? Can you juggle two balls? Come and show us, sir. Next time you know I'm coming, you're not going to come, are you? Because I pick on you. Oh, you can juggle. Hello. Right. Okay. Oh, look at this. Wow. Well done. And you see, I was so pleased. No, you can't do three yet. I'm always terrified they're going to be better than me because then I'm in real trouble. Can I have a practice? One, two, three. Oh, do you mind if I have a go? Look, give her a clap. Well done. Right, slide them back now, because I've got to do some more. Go on, wait. four pounds. Right. Have a go with that one. I'll have those. You have a go with that one. Ooh, I need that one. I got them. See, it works. So, I was a two-ball juggler, but do you know what? I wasn't happy with being a two-ball juggler. I wanted to be better than that. So I started practicing. Do you want to go and sit down, sweetheart? Do you want to go and sit down? Good girl. Excellent. So I'd learned to juggle two balls, but I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to be more than that. So I decided I was going to be a three-ball juggler. I began to talk to people who could juggle with three balls. And a man called John told me what to do. And I practiced and I practiced and I practiced. And at last I could juggle three balls. And I thought, wow, that's great. And you know, I was so happy I could juggle. I tell you what, don't clap because it'll take too long. Now, see, there's an assumption there that you might feel that you'd like to clap. You might not want to clap again. But just in case, don't clap anymore because it will just take too long. Clap at the end if you want. So just for a while, I was really happy. I was a three-ball juggler. But you know what happened? A week later, I woke up and I thought, I'm fed up with being a three-ball juggler. I want to be able to do tricks. And so I practiced. And you see, that's called a three-ball cascade. And I learned to do that, which is called a reverse cascade. And I learned to do that, which is called Collins. And I learned to do that, which is called cheating. And I thought, this is fun. I thought, wow. It's not cheating. Oh, thank you. So I thought, this is great. I'm not just a three-ball juggler. I can do tricks, and I was really happy. But then a week later, I woke up, and I thought, oh, juggling with three balls is really boring. I want to do better than that. I'm not satisfied with being a three-ball juggler. I've got something for you to do. So I thought, I'd like to be a four-ball juggler. And it was ever so hard. Every time I tried to juggle four balls, you want a seat, don't you? Let me find you a seat. Let me bring this over here. Here we are, darling. Do you want to sit in this seat? Do you want to come and sit here? No. Oh, that didn't work, did it? So I've got that one over there. There we are. Right. Let us share your seat, sweetheart. Would you please? Excellent. Good girl. Well done. You can share that one now. Excellent. Right. I was going to... This could take a long time. Put it back. All right. There we are. That okay? Right. So I got four balls. And do you know, every time I tried to do this, I dropped them on the floor. It was dreadful. I dropped them on the floor. I dropped them on the cat. Dropped them on everything. But at last, I learned to juggle. Whoa, missed it. And I dropped them on the floor, and I thought, this is hopeless, and I had another go. I'll try again, shall I? Do you think I can do it this time? Shall we find it? Right, you might have to catch it if I drop it. So that's how you juggle four balls. And I thought, wow, I'm a real juggler now. I can juggle with four balls. And you know, for 2 weeks, I was the happiest man in my village. And then I woke up and I thought, oh, four balls. Only juggle four balls, can't do any more than that. And I wasn't satisfied with being a four-ball juggler anymore. I thought, I want to do something else. So I went out and I bought myself, what about those? Yeah, we'll have a go with those and that one there. And shall we see if we can find another one? I bought myself some of these. Let me see. Madam, come and help me, please. Right, stand over there. She won't do any harm, don't worry. Joyce, hang on to that. And what I want you to do... Joyce, you're going to sit down, darling, because she's going to have a go now. Joyce, I want you to... Now, don't throw it at me, all right? I want you to throw it in the air and catch it like that. Go on, then, have a go. Oh, nearly. Pick it up for me. Have another go. Well done. Give her a clap. You can clap her. You can clap the children. Now, this is going to be hard, all right? So this is what I want you to do. Hold that one, and I want you to throw it not too high. Take that one away and catch that one on the way down. Got the idea? Watch. Throw it in the air. Take that one and catch that one. And don't throw it at me. Go on then. Oh, good try. Right, we'll just have a... So you're going to throw that one in the air. What are you going to do with that? Yes, comes down. Throw it about that high. Go on then. Don't throw it at me. Oh, see, you've... Have another go. Don't forget. Throw that one. What are you going to do with that one? Come down. So don't throw that one until that one starts to fall. Go on then. Oh, so close. That was brilliant. Have another go. You nearly did that. Now you didn't throw it high enough. A little bit higher, sweetheart. Oh, so close. That was nearly perfect. One more go. Yeah. Ooh. Go on, a little bit higher. Yes. Well done. Brilliant. Shake my hand. Well done. So I thought, now I want to be... A three-ring... You have a go at something else in a minute. Go and see. And I tell you what, you can play afterwards when I finish. You can in a minute. So here we go. So I... And I thought, wow, I can juggle three rings. I'm a real three-ring juggler. I was so pleased. But then I thought, oh, that's boring. And I wasn't satisfied anymore. I wanted to do something better. So I went and I bought these. And I learnt to juggle these like this. This is really dangerous. And I thought, wow. But then I got fed up with that because that wasn't good enough anymore. And I wanted to do something different. And would you come and help me? Come and stand over here where everybody can see you. What's your name? Oh, can I shake your hand? Nice to meet you, madam. Right, stand there. And can you all see her? Yeah, good. Okay. Right, don't go anywhere. Right. And I wanted to be a plate spinner. I knew I was a two-ball juggler and a three-ball juggler and a four-ball juggler. And I knew I could juggle rings and I knew I could juggle clubs, but it wasn't good enough. I wanted to be better. I wasn't satisfied. Don't hold it still. Don't move your hand at all. Yeah, but Joyce, sit down, darling. Oh, this is a sort of a skewer.
Yeah, just
where's your hand, sweetheart? Oh, look at that. Is she good? Wow, look at that. Wow. So now I was a plate spinner as well, and I was so excited and so pleased. Well done, sweetheart. You can sit down. I tell you what we're going to do. When we finish the service, you can come and play with the juggling stuff, all of you, so you can all have a go. Right. Right. Where's your finger? Can you keep it like that for me? No. You will be amazed, mums and dads. Good girl. Wow. You can sit down, well done. And I was so pleased because now I was a two-ball juggler, a three-ball juggler, a four-ball juggler, and a plate spinner, and a ring juggler, and a club juggler. And then I thought, oh, I want to do more. I want to be better, and I'm not satisfied. Sir. Sir, come and help me. Yep. Now, this is real hard. What's your name?
David.
That's a great name. Lovely name. Come and stand here so they can see you. In fact, yeah, that's probably best. Just turn around a little bit like that. That's excellent. Okay, hold that in that hand for me. Keep that hand quite still for me. Don't let it go up and down. Hold this one. And that goes up and down. Go on, keep going. Up and down. Look at that. That's it. Good boy. Give him a clap. Well done. Don't stop. Don't stop. Oh, very good. David, you are very good. Very good. I've just come back from Bulgaria working with street kids and... there was a David there who was very good at this. What a mate. That's really, really good. Now, if you sit down, I will show you one or two tricks with this, and then I'll explain to you what I've been doing all this stuff. So this is called a diabolo. And dia means a cross, as in a diagonal line. And bolo means to throw. So it's something that you throw across. And I could use a diabolo, and I was so pleased. And I thought, this is great, I'm a diabloist now. But it wasn't long till I was fed up with that. And I wasn't satisfied anymore. And I wanted to be able to do something different and better. And and even though I can do those tricks, there's one more I really want to learn, and I can't do it because it's too difficult. And I'm really not satisfied because I can't do this trick. And it's called a whip catch, but I can't do it. So it's actually now it's called a whip drop. But we'll have a go. This could go anywhere. You ready? See, can't do it yet. And I'm not satisfied because I can't do it. But I tell you this, I'm going to keep on practicing. And I'm going to practice, and I'm going to practice, and I'm going to practice. And one day, and it might take a very long time, I shall hold it like this, and I'll throw it. And it's not going to happen today. You ready? Won't work. You ought to be over there and catch it for me, really. And it won't. But you know what? Even when I get to do that and I catch it every time, except for half the time, I know very well that a week later I'll wake up and I'll want to learn something else. And I'll think, I'm not satisfied with that trick. I need to learn another one. And in most types of things, that's a good thing. In most of your life, it's a good thing. Not to be satisfied and think, I know all there is to know now. To think, I want to find out something else. That's great. That's a good thing. To think to yourself, I'm not satisfied that I can run a mile in, well, in my case, 15 minutes. But most people's, to be able to do it faster, to be better, to be more able to remember things, all of that is good. But in some respects, being like me isn't godly at all. Being like me and always wanting to do more, to be better, always wanting to be different, that's not always such a good thing. And what I want to say to you is, never be satisfied with your walk with God. Always want to walk closer to Him. Never be satisfied with how well you know this book. Read it more. Find out more about God through this book. Because that's really important. But there's something else from this word which I want to bring to you. It says here, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you'll never need anything else. If you know Christ as your Master, as your Saviour, you'll never need anybody other than Him, because He will satisfy your every need. And every morning you'll wake up and know that He's there with you. And every night when you go to bed, you'll go to bed knowing that He's there with you. And He will satisfy you. You won't be like me, always wanting to be different, always wanting to be better, because He will be with you. I want to spend 10 minutes or so just sharing some stuff from those verses. And afterwards, when we finish, children, you can play with anything in that bag, but don't go in the top, because the stuff in there I don't want you to touch, okay? So I want to talk about the fact that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And I want to take you back to some verses from the Old Testament. You know them ever so well, and it's really important we read this, because this is a special day, as you've already said, being Rosh Hashanah. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the New Testament, I read to you, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, from Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, we find something else. See, I'm supposed to be wearing varifocals, but I still can't read properly through them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am. Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I love this passage, and of course you will know it really, really well. And I sort of have this picture in my head of Moses. He's come down in the world, many would think. Not long before, he was living in the house of the daughter of the leader of the country, the king, if you like. But now he's looking after sheep. Things have changed for him. He's walking across this pretty deserted area, and he's come so far down in the world, he hasn't even got his own sheep anymore. He's looking after Jethro's sheep. He hasn't even got his own flock of sheep. He's come right down in the world. And he's wandering along, and all of a sudden he notices something over there. And he looks over there, and it's a bush that's on fire. Now, if you saw a bush on fire, do you think you'd stop and have a look at it? No. I often wonder about Moses walking along, because it's not unusual for bushes to burn in the desert. And he's walking along, he sees this bush. He could so easily have just walked by and thought, "Oh, there's a bush burning over there," and ignored it. But he didn't, because he was a curious sort of a chap, Moses. He thought, "I'm going to go and have a look at that." I often wonder what the world would be like today if Moses had thought, "I can't be bothered, I'm in a hurry, I'm not going to go and see what's going on over there." But he didn't. He went to have a look, and all of a sudden this bush became even more interesting than it had been before, because not only was the bush on fire, but he noticed that it wasn't burning up. If I got a piece of paper and set fire to it, then that piece of paper would burst into flames and all the paper would disappear and there'd just be ash left. And that's what should have been happening to the bush. But it wasn't. Even though the bush was on fire, it wasn't burning up. It was still a bush. So first thing is, that's interesting. There's a bush that's on fire. Wow! That bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. And then you know what happened next. That bush became suddenly the most interesting bush that ever been. Because suddenly, from out of the bush, came a voice. And Moses must have thought, "Whoa, that's never happened before." And the bush, well, it seemed to Moses, but of course it wasn't the bush talking to him. It was God speaking to him. The bush spoke to him and told Moses some stuff. And Moses said, "But if I do what you're telling me to do, God, who should I say sent me? If I go back and tell my people that I was walking through the desert and all of a sudden a bush spoke to me, they're going to think I'm mad. So who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell them, I am, has sent you." Now that word's really, really important. You know grown-ups, but the children might not. That the word I am means Yahweh. That's the word in Hebrew. And it means I am who I am. That is so special, because it means that God said it there and then from out of that bush, and he said, "I am who I am." But if God were here today, and guess what? He is. And we said to God, "What's your name?" He'd say exactly the same thing. He'd say, "I am who I am." And if we went right back before the world had begun and we said to God, "What's your name?" God would say, "I am who I am," because that's his name. And it's always the same name. It's not, "I am who I am, and in 1,000 years I will be who I will be." It's, "In 1,000 years, my name will still be I am who I am." He doesn't change. He's always the same. The God who was powerful enough to create the world is the same God who's powerful enough today, because he is who he is, who is powerful enough today to change the world. Do you believe that? We look around us at this terrible place we live in. I don't mean Llan Rhymney. I'm sure Llan Rhymney's lovely. I don't want to go away with you thinking he told me Llan Rhymney was horrible. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, in the world, you turn on the telly and you read such horrible stuff. But God can change that. That's why we pray. We believe in a God who is so powerful and so unchanging that he can answer prayer today. If he can answer prayer when Jesus walked the earth, that same God who is who he is, whose name is I am who I am, it's the same God we worship today, who answers prayer, who heals, who saves, who does mighty works. He hasn't changed. And this is the wonderful thing about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who was that read that earlier on? I nearly changed my sermon and preached on that instead. Jesus said, time after, I am, I am, I am. And there's this link, this special link. Jesus isn't just saying, I'm bread. He's not just saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just saying, I'm the door. He's establishing the fact that he and the Father are one. Yeah? That the Trinity is real. That Jesus is God. So we prayed to God in the name of Jesus and things happen. And that's fantastic. And that really thrills me. So I love this whole idea of I am. I love the fact that God is unchanging. And you see what it means? It means that we can trust him. It means that the God of power and authority of the Bible is the same God today, and Jesus is God. It means that the God of love and compassion in Scripture is the same God today. It means that the God who saved and healed and empowered and called and forgave and redeemed is the same God who saves, heals, empowers, calls, forgives and redeems today. Means that we have a God who doesn't just hear our prayers. Because how useless would that be? If there was a God who heard our prayers but had no power to do anything about it, what sort of God would that be? But the God that we worship is the God who doesn't just hear our prayers. He's the God who answers our prayers too. The God who does something, who changes people and circumstances and worlds, means that God is dependable and trustworthy and compassionate. Means that he's just the same today as he ever was. He's the same God in our youth and in our old age. I became a Christian when I was 16. Did I tell you something? God is still just as great as he was when I was 16. He's still the God who thrills me when I wake up in the morning. Still the God who lights up my day. Still the God that I live for. Not changed in any way. He hasn't become less powerful as I become less powerful. He's become more powerful. So he's the same God in our youth and in our old age. He's the same God in good times and in bad. Sometimes you'd think that God is only powerful when everything's going well. That's not the case. He's the same God in good times and in bad. The same God in riches and in poverty. The same God in health and in sickness. And there's a verse, my favorite verse in the whole of Scripture right now. Ask me next week, I'll tell you it's a different one. But my favorite verse in Scripture right now is Isaiah 41, verse 13. I am the Lord your God. See that again? There's that word, I am. Yahweh. I am the Lord your God. This is lovely. Who takes hold of your right hand. Isn't that nice? And it gets better. And says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Isn't that great? I don't know the man who fell down outside, but I do know the God who holds his right hand. I don't know the man out there, and I don't know whether he's scared right now, but I know there's a God who holds his right hand and says, don't fear, I'll help you. And that just thrills me and blesses me and consoles me and gives me hope and gives me trust for the future. We serve a God who is able, ladies and gentlemen. We serve a God who doesn't have an off day. You know, we do. When our kids come to us most days, yeah, can I help you? Some days I've got a terrible headache. Go and talk to your dad. Not like that with our Father God, who says, I'm with you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am who I say I am. And Christ is God. So that's really good news, and something that we can be absolutely certain of, and something that we can look forward to. So he is the bread of life. I'm going to finish in just a moment or two, but I want to say this to you before I go. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, just remember what I said to you earlier on. You will never need anything else. You will never wake up one morning and think to yourself, I'm not satisfied with him, because he will satisfy all your needs. You will never wake up one morning and think there must be more, because there is no more. You will never wake up one morning and think, well, I need to find something else to depend upon, because he is utterly dependable. And you will never wake up one morning and think he doesn't love me anymore, because his love never fails. There is no one else you need. He is everything. He is thrilling. He is extravagant in his love for you. And he will never leave you and never forsake you. Let me read those words again. Well, I'm still in Exodus, and I take too long to find verses these days. But he will satisfy you. That's what I want to leave with you. Let's just pray together. Father God, thank you that your Son is the bread of life. Thank you that we'll never need any more than him. Thank you that you are satisfying, deeply satisfying. You meet all our needs. We never need anyone else than you. Thank you that we can't be saved by our works or our intelligence or our influence. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved by Jesus, who is always sufficient and can always forgive our sins. Be with your people here this morning. Take them away in the surety of your presence with them. Let them know that they can reach out to you and you will take them by the hand. Help them to know that they don't need to be afraid of anything, because you are with them. Help them to know that they go in the power of the risen Christ. Oh, Father, I just leave them with you and these kids. Thank you for every single one of them. Help them to grow up to know you as their Lord and Savior. Help them to know that that big wide world out there doesn't hold anything more wonderful than Jesus. Help them to know that nothing can satisfy the way that Jesus can. Bless these children for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank